You are listening to Keep It Real with Terry and Sonny. And by the way, this is Sonny. For anybody new that's listening, that's Sonny, and I'm Terry.
Exactly.
Hey, wait a minute. And we want to welcome you, and we just happy, excited that you are tuning in for another episode or another video, you know.
Exactly.
And we're happy. Okay.
It's my favorite time of the year, Terry. We're getting into spring finally.
True, me too.
Springtime, you know what I'm saying? All that old, cold, nasty weather's about to turn wet.
Everything's starting to grow crazy.
Yeah, grass is growing green. Everything's starting to look good. I'm excited about that.
Amen. Me too. Praise God. Well, today's video, the title of it is God is My Father. Okay. Ooh. The God in heaven, or the God Almighty, just stop and think about this. God, you know, you either know him one or two ways. You know him as God, you know, like in the Old Testament.
Right.
Or you know him in the New Testament, you know, that I'm the Father, my Father, you know. So we're going to talk about God, you know, God that's our Father. And the title is God, My Father. And really, the Lord's Prayer, when the disciple says, "Teach me how to pray," and the Lord said, "Well, you pray like this." Well, it starts off with "Our Father," right? So you address him as your Father, because he is, you know. And that's what we're gonna be talking about, okay?
Right.
And I don't have no main scripture, because everything I'm gonna talk about, I have a scripture to go with it, okay? So that's what we're talking about, God. You know that I can come and say, "God's my Father." And when I enter in prayer, I go to him as my Father.
You know? And you know, Terry, that's a good thing to know, because a lot of people don't have, and especially this day and age, a lot of people don't have that relationship with an earthly father.
True.
A lot of people don't even know their earthly father. Yes. And a lot of people never heard and knew their earthly father. And a lot of people, their early father done did things that were wrong to them.
It's a bad
relationship. Just a bad relationship. Yeah. And it sets a bad precedent. And, you know, to be able to have that relationship with God, because, you know, that's the whole thing that's missing in this day and age, is the father mentorship. Because a lot of times the fathers are either, even if you got a good father, he's always got to go to work. He's got to do stuff. He can't stay home and just spend all that time with you that you really would need. You know what I'm saying?
True.
So you need that relationship with the Father. And that's the good thing about God being your Heavenly Father, is he's able to make that relationship. Especially once you get to know him, Terry. I find once you get to know him and you get to see his true aspects.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You got to see what he's really about. Because, you know, I heard a guy I was teaching the other day. He said the world knows what the church is against. But the world doesn't know what the church is for.
Yeah.
And that's why the church gets such a bad rap. Because it seems like the church is always against, it sounds like they're against everything. It's the same way with God. Everybody knows what God's against. So God, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that.
True.
But not too many people know what God's for. Yeah. And that's what we're going to talk about today, God's for.
And something came to me when we were bringing about the relationship with a human father, you know, is that our crime rate, people, young teenagers, young kids, they're killing people. They're shooting each other.
Exactly.
And I don't know if you realize it's probably stealing and drugs and all that. But the majority of them come, they didn't have a father. Or they had a father, but he left.
Exactly. You know, they don't have that relationship.
They raise himself up.
Right.
And they get involved in gangs and all that, and you know.
Yeah, but you don't know how to act without you know, the father does the discipline. You know, everybody know, y'all out there, y'all know what I'm talking about. Your father's the one that usually whips you. You know what I'm saying? He's the one that usually fusses you and whips you. But you don't hate him for whipping you.
Right.
You're not mad at him for whipping you, because especially as you get old, you learn to understand why, especially if he did it right. You understand why he corrected you.
Right.
And you know, there's something, there's something special. And look, I haven't experienced it in my life, because my father was never the type of person to tell me I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just the way he was, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I tell my kids, and I feel the special connection with them by telling them that.
Right.
And I know how I feel, and I see how it makes them feel. You know what I'm saying? And it's good. And that's why when you get that, you know, because God is love, and you get that relationship with God and that love connection with God as your father, it just changes you.
It does.
From the inside. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Amen. And that's the good thing about knowing
that's
God
good.
As your father.
That's good. Now, I have what I'm going to bring out right here is different little areas, and you can kind of just say it as a prayer too if you want.
Right.
But I got scriptures for each one of them. So we're talking about that God is my Father, my Heavenly Father, and the Word says you can call him Abba Father, okay?
Right.
So It says right here, I am a child of God.
Exactly.
And if you look up John 1:12, it says, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name.
Exactly. And the first thing you got to do is you got to become a child of God.
Right.
If you're not, that's right. An easy thing. Just ask God to forgive you and accept into his kingdom.
Right.
That's it. You know, and that's the first step in the right direction. You know what I'm saying? Right.
And yeah. And when that happens, then you have to realize, and again, going back to what you're saying, it gets stronger when you get to know him and spend time in that relationship. Like any other relationship, you got to spend time. You got to communicate.
You got to spend time. And you know, and the best way to do it is by reading the word.
Right.
Reading the word. God reveals so much to you in his word.
Right. And when you're doing that, I mean, you should know right when you get saved that, you know, that, well, it's God's not God no more to me. He's my heavenly father.
Exactly.
And I'm a child. So I can go to him, you know.
And ask him for stuff.
And yeah, everything.
God wants you to ask him for stuff. He wants you to have a relationship with him. You know what I
mean? That's not the only reason you go to him, but exactly. That's one of the reasons, you know. I mean, exactly. definitely.
It makes me feel good. I tell you, when your kids come ask you for something, it makes you feel good, huh?
If I can give it to them.
Exactly.
I have the means to give it to them.
But if you can't, you kind of feel bad, but you want to give them nice things. You want them to have things. You know what I'm saying? The same way God not only enjoys giving you stuff, but he enjoys you coming in and asking for stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I know I enjoy having my kids come at me. Like when my kids were younger, I was kind of more like in the disciplinary age. Right. You know, I'm that father, you know, I got to teach them right. I don't want to send them out to the world, to the wolves and everything. But now they got older, it's like when they come over, I just want to enjoy them.
Yeah,
I want to enjoy my time with them. I don't want to be telling them what to do. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to be friends with them, and if I'm friends with somebody, I'm gonna give them my advice. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just my nature. You know what I'm saying? True. I'm not gonna let them just jump off the cliff. Look, we'll try this.
I know.
Go into the water. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like, you know. Okay, I'm not gonna tell you to touch that stove. Just go ahead and touch. You'll find out. Go ahead.
It's not hot. No, it's not hot.
I mean, you're not. I know you're gonna do it anyway. So just go do it and get it over.
Yeah,
with.
Just do it and get it over with. Burn yourself and everything. You know what I'm saying?
That's not how you do it.
And that's the thing too, Terry. As a father. Yeah. And God's the same way as a father. Sometimes if they tell you, especially when your kids get old, you got to learn a lesson. Mm-hmm. Let them, if they tell you no, don't be mad at them because they tell you no.
Right.
And because they don't want to listen to you. They're adults. They got to make their own decisions.
True. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And you say, okay, go try it your way. See if it works. Yeah, and if it works, praise God. If it don't work, well, then maybe next time you'll listen to me.
Yeah. Well, I do that with God sometimes.
Exactly.
I'm a child of God, and I act like a kid.
Terry, I'm gonna tell you a story. This is me arguing with God. I bought this company. I bought this stock company. Okay. I bought it for $1 a share.
Uh-huh.
And I was believing God to get my money back because I bought a lot of shares of it.
Right.
Well, it went up. And I went all the way up to $8 a share.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, man, I'm selling it now. Uh-huh. And I held it for, I mean, almost 10 years before, ooh, you know what I'm saying, before it finally went up. It went up to $8 a share. I sold it. And then I said, when I seen it went up to 10, oh, Lord, I'm going to buy it back. Is this going to keep bouncing? But the Lord said, don't buy it. I said, no, Lord, I'm telling you. I'm going to make my money back, Lord. Yeah. I'm going to make my money back. I'm hit it again one more good time. Lord said, don't buy it. Well, sure enough, I went and bought $8 a share. Never went back up to 10. It went down to 6. The Lord told me, you need to sell it. And I said, no, Lord, I'm waiting. This will come back. Even if I got a hold for 20 years, it's going to come back. It's going to come back. And sure enough, it went down to 4. The Lord said, you need to sell it again. I didn't sell it again. It went down to 25 cents a share. And now the company's even gone. There's no more company. I lost that money. I argued with God. I'm telling you, God, it's going to do this.
He's telling God,
it's going to do this.
That kid is something else. He's going to find out.
What's the matter with you?
You don't want to listen to me. You're going to find out the whole
thing. We do that to our God. Yeah. We do that to our God ourselves. You know what I'm saying? We argue with God.
Yeah.
And God doesn't get mad at us for doing it. You know what I'm saying? There's a scripture in the Bible that said, God said, come reason with me.
Right.
Let's come argue with me. Let's debate this thing.
God wants you to talk.
Yeah, he's not afraid. He, Yeah. He showed that with Jacob. Yeah. When he wrestled with Jacob in the ground, he was wrestling with him all, and he wrestled with him all night long.
Right.
And he said, and he said Jacob beat God, but actually, he said Jacob won. But actually, you know, God let him win. Just know, look, guys, you know out there. Well, if you wrestle with God, God really wants to win. He's gonna win. Right. You know what I'm saying?
You know, you can communicate with God. In other words, you can talk to him and listen to him. And I'm bad with communication at every level, okay? I'm bad. You know, I might get it right, and then all of a sudden I stray from it, you know? So when it comes to God, I really got to focus on that, you know?
Exactly.
In any relationship. But you know, not doing the communication. You know, like you said, you can talk to God and try to reason with him. But God's going to say, okay, no, he's always going to go back to his word. And he's correcting you with his word, which is him, and that's the way you go. Now, and then he said, oh, no, God said, well, wait, you know, so you can talk to God about that.
Exactly.
And if it lines up with his word, then you can.
He's not going to wait for his word.
No.
But God does want you, just like a child is real with their parents. Kids are not fake with their parents. They might hide stuff from their parents and tell them, but they're real. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the same way with God. God wants you to be, like God, by being a child of God, God wants you to be real with him.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Just being, because he already knows. Like, you'd be going to hide from something from God.
No, you can't hide from God.
I'm going to do this, but it's I'm like
that commercial
Lord,
that God played. I don't remember what they're selling, but it's like they're trying to play hide and seek and they're in the desert.
Yeah, in the desert. Exactly.
And one's hiding by Olivia Bush, you can see it, and one's digging a hole. I can see you. You know, I mean, you're not hiding. I can see you. That's not how we always God. We try to hide from God. Get them behind a little bush that you can see through.
Grab some grass.
Dig a hole. Try to dig a hole. You know, it says, yeah, you know, it says, I can still see you, man. What you trying to do? Hide from me, you know? That's what I think about when I see that.
That's how God is. You know, and but the thing about it is, Terry, God wants us to be real with him.
True.
Wants us to be real.
Yeah, he's real with us.
Because he's real with us, and he wants us to be real with him. You know, that whole false narrative, being deceitful and everything, that's all of the enemy. That's not of God.
Because
God already knows everything. You know what I'm saying?
I only did my one thing, and look how much we talked about this. Oh, man, God is good. The second thing is that it says that I am a member of the body of Christ.
Come on.
Okay? And by the way, I had said John 1:12 for the last scripture. I think I said it. But this scripture here is 1 Corinthians 12:27. Okay? And it says, how are you the body of Christ? Right? As a member, individual member. In other words, we are a body of Christ, but God also treats us as individual.
Right,
you know, and then we all come together as a body, you know. But that is in 1 Corinthians 12:27. It talks about that.
Right,
that we are a member of the body of Christ.
And I think the biggest thing about that is being part of the body of Christ is understanding there are no big I's and little U's.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody it serves a part. And I think that's one of the things God wants the body to realize. You know, because we think, oh, well, he's the pastor. He's the greatest of all. And really, he's not.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
No.
He's a part of the body, and he's a vital part of the body. But everybody is a part of the body. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's a scripture talk about no part of the body is more important than the other. Because you've got to have all the parts
of the body.
You've
got to have all.
The body to work with.
We all have certain functions, certain duties. And when one member hurts, then we all hurt.
The body should all hurt.
So we individually, but if you hurt, then we all hurt.
Exactly.
And if I hurt and something, and then everybody, you know, that's
exactly. We should all hurt, and you know, we get away from that.
Yeah.
I, in this new age, because we don't really, we've been so isolated because of social media that people don't just contact like no more. Social media is really good; it gets you out into the world. You know what I'm saying?
It gets you
out where you can minister to people that you don't even know.
True.
You can be ministering in Africa to people you never ever meet in your life, but you can't forsake the assembly too. You know what I mean? You got to get talking to people and everything. That's about that's when you get together, you know, and that's what makes it so much better. You know
amen,
what I'm saying?
Amen.
But everybody has their part, and even if you're just the guy that goes and goes witness to this one guy down the street, and on one, you know, in this description, Bible talks about how you know the man gets one got one saved, one the other one got five saved, the other one got 10 saved, and depending on what that part of the body is, God wasn't mad at neither one of them. He was only mad at the one that didn't use what God gave him to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's the same with us.
Amen.
We got to just do our part. You know what I'm saying,
Terry? True, that's so true. And so we're talking about God as my Father, okay? And the next one we're going to bring out is, I have been adopted as a child of God.
Come on.
We've been adopted because we're not Jews, okay?
Right.
The Jews were God's people originally. I mean, and he still are. But he was, you know, from the Old Testament, that's the people he raised up. You know?
Right.
But when Christ came and everything, we now Jews can be, and we were kind of like grafted in it. We kind of, you know, we adopted.
Right. We got that covenant relationship. And I think the biggest thing they're talking about right there, they explain the covenant relationship that God had with Abraham.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? God made that covenant relationship with Abraham. And the Jews stepped into that promise from Abraham.
Right, because he was a...
Because if you read down the line, all the stuff that happened, but me and Terry was talking about that before the service, before we started video, they did a lot of stuff bad. They did a lot of stuff wrong. But because of what Abraham did, and God made a covenant with Abraham, he kept that covenant with the Jews all these years. Even all the stuff they did wrong...
Mm-hmm.
But and once we got into the body, adopted into the body, that same covenant that Abraham had, we have now. Amen. Terry, you know what I'm saying? We have the about our descendants being as multiple as the stars. You know what I'm saying? All those covenants are in our relationship. You know what I'm saying? With Christ.
You know, that's why it's important we read the Old Testament. We need to know how it all started. And how it all began and how it came down to.
Yeah, I believe one of the things as a Christian, you know, I believe it's important to read about Jesus, mm-hmm. but I also believe it's important to read about Abraham.
Yeah, I mean,
because that's the covenant promise that God made with Abraham. That's the promise that this goes back to, you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Learning that promise that you got, you know what I'm saying, with God. Because God blessed Abraham.
Right.
You know what I mean? And God wants to bless us.
And that scripture for that one is, it talks about we are adopted, is Ephesians 1:5. And it says, it's talking, and this is God talking, it says, he predestined us to adoption as a son by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So again, you know, we adopted into the family because of Jesus, okay? And we can call God our Father.
Exactly. You know, I was thinking when you were saying about that, Terry, about an orange tree.
Uh-huh.
You know, most orange trees that you buy in the store, or lemon trees, or pear trees, or apple trees, all fruit trees that you buy in the store,
mm-hmm.
all that is from a grafted branch.
Praise God.
Yeah, they'll take a branch and they'll cut a branch and they'll graft it into the other tree.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll cut the old tree off and the new tree will come up.
Right.
But none of that's from the original tree.
Yeah.
It's all from branches that were grafted in. And you never even know, most people don't even know that's not from the original tree.
Right.
It's from a grafted tree. And that's the same way it is with Christ.
It's like plants and all that. Because a couple of years ago, I started trying to study plants, how to plant them and all that. Some you can a certain place you cut them and you can just plant that,
right?
And it'll take off,
right?
I forgot the word.
It's a certain type of plant, so if you can root it,
yeah,
you can root it with a root hormone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you can do that, and that's the way it is with God. We're grafted in. It says we're grafted into.
Yeah.
So that tree, once the new tree takes,
uh-huh.
the old tree died.
Right.
But you know what, Terry? I've seen it over and over and over with an old tree. If you don't watch that old tree, at the very bottom, you're going to have some blow branches that's going to come up all over that thing. And that branch is going to be full of thorns about that long.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come out and they're going to be all spiking and everything. And that goes to show how the old nature self is. It's all wicked, nasty, dangerous, and everything.
Yeah.
If you allow it, what will happen is, it'll eventually take over the new tree.
True.
But if you keep it trimmed, you keep it pruned, mm-hmm. you keep that old tree dead, and so you'll always have a good tree that produces good fruit.
Yeah.
And that's how it is with Christ.
Right. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's with trees, but also with plants, because I know gardeners, that's what they do. And they, you know, they certain time, sometimes, some of them at a certain time of the season, and you can do all that.
Exactly.
And you're just making it grow better, making it healthy.
Exactly.
And that's good. The next one is that my Father made me. Okay.
Ooh.
He made me. Okay. And it says that's in Deuteronomy 32:6. But we're going to talk about the second 6b. We're going to talk about the end of part of that scripture. And it says, he is not your father, but he said who brought you. He had not made you. He established you. But that you have to look at the first part. I guess I should have. But anyway, look it up and you'll see. Deuteronomy, but he has made us. He had, okay. The next one is that he loves us. Okay, you know. I mean, the whole thing starts with love. You know, I mean, it's all about the love. God is love, and everything is by faith. You know, he spoke everything in existence, but it's love.
It's because of love. Yeah. Exactly. That's the reason why God loves us, and he gave, and you know, and that's why he gave Christ to die for us, because he loved us, you know. And you know, Terry, I don't think I'll ever understand the depth of God's love, because I don't think we're humanly possible to be able to do that, because you stop and think about it, it's just beyond measure. How much love you know you're gonna do? It's not, you're not just dying for someone, but you're dying for someone that doesn't even care about you.
I know.
You know what I mean? So that's beyond. You know, it's just not like a soldier goes to war and everything. Yeah, yeah. That's the closest thing we have to that. You know what I'm saying? A soldier going to die for our country.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But you know, it goes even deeper than that.
That's what I'm saying. But it goes deeper than that.
Because I mean, you know, he might start off, well, I want to go serve my country. So he goes to war and he learns how to kill people, the enemy. So he goes to war. But the thing is, why you go? You spend so much time with the people in your that's in your company, what we call it.
Right.
You become brothers, and then you get to the point when you're fighting. You've been so much time together. Is that you want to? I want to lay my life down for you. You know.
Exactly.
Because we brothers, and all of us are together. We're all together in this. You know.
Exactly.
And if any of us gonna come out, we have to stick together, and we have to die for each other. We have to.
Right.
And a lot of them do that. I mean, and that's why they, you know.
And that's the only thing that you can even think about that's close to it. You know what I'm saying? Or like a father and a child, a parent. You know, you hear about stories about it on the news all the time. This little boy is drowning, and the father jumps over, not even knowing how to swim.
Right, right.
But he jumps over and tries to save the little boy, and he drowns himself.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it just, there's that love there. You know what I'm saying? And we, you know, it's hard to grasp it. But that's kind of what God did. We was drowning and dying.
Right.
And God jumped over and died on the cross. Mm-hmm. But nobody understood that. The enemy didn't understand that. The world didn't understand that. Nobody even said. Even the disciples couldn't understand that, because you can see Jesus, they were there rising with. They thought they had a plan, thought when God was doing one thing, but God, that's what God was doing. Because I really don't understand the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I think it's way above what we can even comprehend.
Well, yeah.
But I'm just glad God did it, Terry.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He didn't have to. I mean, it's like he had the plan A was Adam and Eve, Eve. And then when they sinned, well, that changed everything. But he had a plan B. I probably a better way of saying this, but he had another plan.
Right.
Okay. You know, and he had all that figured out already. I mean, you know, it's all, because he knew what was going to happen.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Well, you can see God, man started messing up so many times, and God kept trying to make it right, recreate it. Because he first started with Adam. Adam messed up. Mm-hmm. Then he tried, when Adam messed up, it just went south real fast, mm-hmm. all the way to Noah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna try to clean it up with Noah.
But it,
and then he went south back again. Then he said, okay, well, this time instead of killing everybody, I'm gonna pick somebody, and I'm just gonna pour my love out on them. Mm-hmm. So he picked Abraham. But even with Abraham, he went south again. Mm-hmm. Because you go down, you start reading those scriptures from Abraham. Jacob, Joshua, you go all the way down. They start messing all up again. Then they started off with Moses. Then after Abraham, God went to Moses. God said, I'm going to wipe them all out.
All they did.
I'm going to do it again.
After all they did, he delivered them out of Egypt, and he took care of them. You know.
Yep. And he started with Moses. He said, "Okay, I'm gonna start all over with Moses." But Moses said, "No, God, don't start over with me. You know, these are your people. What's gonna look like if you said you was doing this to Abraham?" Uh-huh. And then he started all over with David. And then he started all over with Jesus. He kept over. But Jesus came and he fixed it right.
It's like you were saying earlier. Every step that happened with that person, he got something. God got something established. God said,
exactly.
This is why. Well, this is, you got to learn this.
He was setting up the stage for Jesus.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You know?
He was setting it up for him.
Yeah, because every book some kind of way points to Jesus. I mean,
exactly.
From Genesis to Revelation, it's all points to Jesus.
I mean, exactly. You know? And that goes to show God's love. You know, God could have been like, and you know, I'm not saying he didn't do this before, but he could have been like, you know what? I give up. These people are too dead. I got enough of them. Yeah. They're too hard headed. They don't want to listen. Well, I can't control them. I'm just gonna wipe them all out, and I don't need to put up with this anyway.
I mean,
there's no reason. He doesn't have to.
Because like I said, God could have did that. And in the flood, he just almost did it, but he could have did it again. He could have. And then when Jesus came on scene, he said, I don't want to go down this cross. Yeah. These people don't deserve it. They don't want it. They bad people. They say it all the time.
Yeah, man, this is too many times. It's not worth it. You know what I'm saying?
God was like that. God's not like that.
Yeah, though. But the thing about it was, God was, it said Jesus looked towards the promise.
Yeah.
Because you see, the thing about it was, God seen that one day, that Terry Dupre was going to love God.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh,
and he said,
thank you,
he would not be able to make it to heaven without him, so I'm going to make a way.
Oh, definitely. Look, I ran for God for a year, man. I mean, God was after me, well, maybe before that, but there was people coming after me, pastors and all kind of people coming after me, man. When I knew they were coming, I was gone.
Exactly.
So one day I got cornered, and I just sat there for 2 hours, and they told me, man, and finally I surrendered.
Right.
Surrendered, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I surrendered, and at that time, my life died. I mean, I died. My self died. Self died. And I put, you know, Jesus on the throne of my heart, my life.
Exactly. Because we found out, we found out today that God uses people that are not perfect. Right. Even though they mess up, he just uses willing people.
Right.
And that's what he wants to use. You know, if you, no matter if you're perfect, you're not perfect, you're going to mess up. Because you read through Genesis and Revelations and all the scriptures and everything.
Yeah.
Everywhere in the Bible, those people all messed up. Every one of them did wrong. I mean, not just did some, they weren't how you say good people that messed up.
Right.
They were just people that messed up. You know what I'm saying? They just did bad things. You know what I'm saying? But God still used them.
That's true. Okay, and the scripture for that you know, God loves, he's in love with us, okay, is Ephesians 1:4. And I already talked about Ephesians 1:5, but this is a scripture before, and he says he chose us in love.
Come on.
You know, it was in love, and that's what we just talked about. Now, the next one, we had mentioned this too already, and you mentioned it, and you know what I was going to say. The next one was, my Father knows what I need even before I ask him.
Exactly.
You know, and that's in Matthew 6:8. It says, for your Father knows the things you have need before you even ask him. That's what that verse says.
Exactly.
So praise God, you know. So he knows everything. You can't hide from him.
You can't hide from him, man. He knows everything. You know, and that's the thing. And you know, that's how the enemy wants you to do. The enemy wants you to come out there, and he don't want you to be like, don't let God know you're doing this. It's all right. No, don't let God know you're doing it. God already knows what you're doing. You know what I'm saying, Terry?
No, it's like everyone he thinks we talk about, you should pray. You can pray this, and you can declare this.
Right.
Declare this unto God, because that's... it's his word. You know, when we go to prayer, God wants to hear you, but he loves to hear when you say he says his word. That's his will.
Right.
I mean, he loves to hear, you know, that you're talking about his will, you know. It's him. You know? It's
right.
Him, you
know? And guys out there, no matter what you do, everybody's gonna mess up, you know. And you know, we get that guilt trip put on us, expecting us to be perfect all the time, expecting us not to do nothing wrong and everything. Look, I don't believe we should go out there willfully sinning.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
But
on the other hand, I don't live in a fantasy land think I'm gonna ever do everything right.
No, we're not.
I'm gonna make some mistakes. I'm gonna do things. You know,
the
thing about it is, everybody messes up. If God tells you to do something and you don't do what he tells you to do, you messed up, no matter what it is.
Something that's not right. It's not of God.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's not easy to do. I mean, you remember, you go all day, you constantly thinking, I mean, I don't know, how many thoughts you got in a day? I mean,
it's a lot.
Thousands and thousands of thoughts in a day. It's very easy to think of something that's against God's word or against his will, okay? All right. And the word says that when, you know, you got to cast that down. OK. All right. Well, I mean, you know, sometimes you don't do that. I don't do that sometimes, you know. But that's why in the morning in prayer, there's a part in the prayer that you pray and ask God, reveal anything that's sin. And then you confess that sin to God, and you're forgiven.
Exactly, Because the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And, you know, that's why a lot of people got against grace preachers. They don't like grace preachers because they don't tell people that they're messing up, and because they feel like it's the job of the church to point out every wrong.
Right, right.
And that's not technically true. You know what I'm saying? It's the job of the church to love people and bring them to Christ.
Right. I mean, sin is sin. I mean, I could murder somebody. Oh, that's sin, man.
That,
okay, I could do that, or I could just think something that like I think something bad on you.
Yeah,
that's it.
Actually, the scripture said, "You call a person a fool."
Yeah,
you think they're a fool.
That's why you gotta watch what you say.
Exactly,
because just that little word like that, it might not mean to you. It might not mean nothing, but I mean, it's not right. God don't want you to
exactly.
say that.
Exactly.
The other part in the prayer thing is that you pray that God show me if I'm taking Christ's name in vain or God's name in vain. You know, and because words slip sometimes. You know.
Right.
And you hear all this language on TV. That's why I said you got to watch what you got to watch what you hear and you got to watch what you see.
Exactly.
Because that little slip, that's a sin. Because we're all saying this because nobody's perfect. We all need Jesus, and we need Jesus every day. You got to take your salvation daily, you know?
Right.
You know, like
well,
you said.
Well, you know, the way I see Christ is he's not abusive.
No.
I see the Father as he's not abusive.
Right.
And what do we mean by abusive? Well, abusive is somebody that's always pointing out the negatives and the faults in you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or making you feel less than what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime somebody makes you feel, like when you're in an abusive situation, that person squashes you down
True.
To make themselves look bigger.
Yeah, it's all about self.
It's all because they want to make themselves look bigger.
Right.
But Christ is not like that.
No.
Christ is not like that. Christ doesn't want to squash you down to make himself look bigger, because Christ is already comforted in who he is.
Right, right.
If he knows who he is. He doesn't need, Christ wants to lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
And all way you can lift somebody up is, like we said earlier, you got to do it in love.
Right, right.
You can't point out every fault they have and lift them up.
True.
You got to tell them that God can help them get past those things.
Amen.
And move them. They're bigger than that. That God is doing more for them than just that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And when they look at it from that aspect, and you building them up, and you tell them how great they are and how good of a person they are. I was telling somebody the other day, Terry. You know, I was telling a lot of people these days, when you have so much conflict in relationships, one of the reasons why is because we don't build up our spouses.
Right, that's true.
The women don't build up the men, and the men don't build up the women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And because they don't build them up and tell them good things about themselves, instead they're quick to tear them down. You did this wrong, and they snap it on them. But then very seldom they're able to put them a compliment. And when you don't give those comments, I was talking to a man. I said, you know what? Women have the power. Well, no, I'm sorry. I was talking to a lady. I said, women have the power to lift a man up and make him think, that he's a great guy and everything.
Right, right.
Or she has the power to tear him down.
Yeah.
And if she tears him down, then you can't be mad at who he's becoming.
True. I mean, I listened to on YouTube. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's got a lot of YouTube. And he talked about the marriage. And then what I got out of it is that in a marriage, you both submit to God,
right.
But you got to submit to each other in a marriage,
right?
And you got to die. You got to die. Like in a marriage, my spouse, I got to die,
right?
And then she's got to die too. And so it's no I in it, you know. And so I'm here to serve you and take care of your needs, and both ways, you know,
right?
You know, both ways. Both of them got to do that, and that's submitting to each other. And the other thing I learned in that sermon that spoke to me is that as a man and your wife, you know that's a daughter of God.
Yeah.
And you got a responsibility. You got to answer for that.
Exactly.
Wow. We the head of the household. You know what I'm saying? So the man's job, he's going to have to answer to God if you treat it. My child treats my child.
Right, exactly. Right. And you know, that comes from another angle too. The woman doesn't need to badger the man and make him and put him down because he's not treating her like the daughter of God. Because God's going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
God's if he's not treating you, ladies, if your husband's not treating you right, not treating you like you're supposed to treat him, you don't need to worry about it. God's gonna fix him up. You know what I'm saying? God's gonna straighten him out. We don't have to. I don't believe it's ever our job to straighten out our spouses. You know what I'm saying? Because God's gonna do that.
Well, again, in prayer, you pray.
But we can pray for each other, right? But I'm talking about telling them everything, pointing out all their faults. Because you focus on that, then you're not building them up. Because it always sounds like the negative all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's when you
focus on the positive things.
There's a way you can do it in love, and
exactly,
and the way you how you deliver it, and you know. And again, the closer you're to God, the more, you know, you're praying, and you have
exactly.
the peace of God, and you better deal with it, and you won't start yelling at your spouse. You know?
Exactly. You shouldn't tear him down. You got to build him up. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
that's what Christ does.
So, some more things I want to say because it's about time to close it. Last one, it says that it talks about in the scripture where we God is Abba Father. We can call God our Father, but he's Abba Father. And you find that in Romans 8:15, okay? So in Romans 8:15, you'll find out where the scripture talks about that we can call God Abba Father, okay? And that really means something, okay? And then the last thing I want to talk to, if I can remember the scripture, it's this one scripture. I like this scripture because it helps me get in the presence of God. Like, you know, like when, especially in the morning when I first wake up and I get in his presence. It's Psalms 104. And it says, enter his gates with an S, you know, with thanksgiving, and into his courts with an S, with praise. And then unto him, you give him thanks and you bless his name. And that's what Psalm says. And that's just, you know, I meditate on that a lot, and then it helps me get in the morning.
And that goes back to what we were saying about being thankful. And, right, you know, right. You're being thankful to God,
yes,
and you focus on all the positive things. Amen. When you're being thankful, you're focusing on all the positive things that's going on.
True.
And not like we were saying with your relationship. Focus on the good things. Don't dwell on the bad things, and things will get better. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it's the same way with God. You got to focus on the good things God's doing and not the negative things that's going on in the world. Because you know what, guys? There's a lot of bad stuff going on out there right now. It's just the world. Yeah. The world just seems like it's falling apart.
Well,
you can't put it in the news without something bad going on. And if you get caught up in that, you lose focus of what God's doing, and you start focusing on what the enemy's doing. And just like we learned about today, God is love. Mm-hmm. You're a child of God. If God is love and you're a child of God, then we should be loved too.
Right.
We should just be the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
You got to keep focus of everything because, like, right now you got war going on, right? And in Russia and all that and all that. And if you get too focused on that, I mean, that's the end times. End time. Okay, but You gotta focus on God and Jesus.
Exactly.
Because it don't matter how bad it gets in this world. If you connected with Him and you stay connected with Him,
because God's always doing something.
Yeah, I mean,
God's,
you know,
always even in the end time, God is doing something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we can't get caught up in what the enemy's doing. We gotta get caught up in God's doing.
I mean, it's good to know what's going on in the world, but then you still need to go to God in prayer.
Exactly.
And you know, so.
Exactly. So guys, listen, today, if that's you out there and you don't feel like you're a child of God, you don't have the relationship with God, or if you're having problems in those other areas, like we talk about relationships and everything, you know, go back and re-listen to this video, you know, kind of pick up a little bit on it, because, you know, God doesn't want you to live a life or where you're all the time upset and depressed and hurting and everything. God wants you to live a happy life. And that's the biggest thing. He wants you to be happy.
Happy.
He wants you to enjoy life. Right. He wants you to enjoy the journey.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And if you're enjoying the journey, you're just going to be a better person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the whole thing. And that's the nature of God. The nature of God is love. You know, and if we're children of God, we're going to love like Christ loved. You know what I mean? And we can't get caught up in everything else. Just focus on what God's doing. So God, we want to thank you once again for coming. We want to pray for you. So God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, for everybody out there, Lord God. Yes. If that's you out there and you don't feel like God loves you, just reach your hand out to reach your hand up to God and say, God, just show me your love.
Yes,
pour out your love on me like I never experienced before.
Yes.
Now I thank you for that in
Jesus' name.
So guys, if that's you, we want to thank you, Lord God. We want to thank you, Lord God, for that. And guys, if that's you out there and you're really experiencing God's love, just give us a little thumbs up. You know what I'm saying? Press the thumbs up button and make sure you share these videos. And you can also check us out on Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts. And if you're friends with us on Facebook, you can also catch us on Facebook too. We do our little short video on Facebook. It's just a little commercial.
Be my friend.
So we look forward to seeing you again next week.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
Man, it's funny how we, you know, want to.